Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam rasulillah. So we finished the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, and this being basically the final khatira, what I thought would be appropriate would be to summarize some of the main lessons that we learned from Surah Al-Kahf. Some of the main lessons of Surah Al-Kahf. We notice that the surah begins and ends on the same note, and that is mentioning the revelation of the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi alkitab, right? And in the final verse, yuha ilayya, the Quran has been revealed. And so the emphasis is given on the Quran and the role of the Quran. And that is why smack in the middle of the surah, what does Allah say? Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min alkitab. Recite what has been revealed to you from the Quran. So the importance of the Quran, the importance of reciting the Quran. Also, we notice that the surah ends and begins with mentioning Allah's rewards and punishments. Both the beginning and the ending of Surah Al-Kahf, they deal with Jannah and Nar. And again, when you have a chance, go back and look this up. Again, also the surah begins and ends with the theme and the role and the function of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the first verse, Alhamdulillah anzala ala abdihi al-kitab, the abd. In the last verse, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. And these two are the spectrum that our Prophet has been given. The highest praise is he is abd, and yet he is also bashar. So the Prophet is a bashar, but he is also Abdullah. And Abdullah is the highest praise given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our Prophet is between these two. We do not praise him more than he deserves, and we don't dispraise him, astaghfirullah, lest we put him in the maqam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put him. He is Abdullah, he is Rasulullah, and he is bashar. He is a human being, and he is not more than human. Also, we notice that the main theme of the surah, from the beginning to the end, is that this life is full of trials, is full of tests. And the only way to save yourself, to overcome them, is by having a relationship with Allah, by believing in Allah, by following the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by having iman and tawakkul in Allah. This is the theme of Surah Al-Kahf. Life is full of tests. And if you want to be saved from these tests, make sure that you have that relationship with Allah and you follow the sharia. So we see this in the first story, the story of the cave. When they were persecuted for their faith, they prayed for protection, they fled to the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with a miracle like humanity has never seen. They slept for 300 years. We see this in the story of the two gardens, where the one who does not thank Allah, he does not have a relationship with Allah, he rejects Allah's blessings. We see the punishment in this world, and Allah knows what will happen in the next. We see this in the story of Musa and Khidr, that Musa alayhi salam, he humbled himself when Allah informed him that somebody has more blessings than he does in the area of knowledge. And notice, this is an amazing paradox here. When he humbled himself for the sake of knowledge, he gained more knowledge. When he humbled himself and he appreciated Allah's blessings, he then gained more knowledge. And we see this in the story of Dhulqarnain, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Dhulqarnain with the fitna of power, which is perhaps the most difficult fitna for any man to cope with. That is the worst fitna for any man, and that is the fitna of power. Dhulqarnain was tested with the fitna of power, and what happens? We find his justice, we find his ruling in truth, and what does Allah do? Allah blesses him with having a historic role of covering up Ya'juj and Ma'juj. One of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Dhulqarnain's covering of Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be demolished. Also, of the benefits of the surah, constant theme of the surah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. The surah begins with Alhamdulillah. Throughout the story, ascribing good to him. The people of the cave, they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man in the two gardens, the second man, he praises Allah. قُلْ وَهُوَ اللَّهُ رَبِّي. He is Allah, my Lord. Khidr, he praises Allah and he says, this is Allah told me to do this. He ascribes the good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhulqarnain, when he builds the wall, he says, هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. This is a rahmah from my Lord. And so the entire surah reminds us that we need to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ascribe blessings and good to him. And we already mentioned the theme of insha'Allah is somehow linked to the surah. Three different things of insha'Allah. The surah was delayed because our Prophet forgot insha'Allah. In the surah, Allah says, never say something that you're going to do except you add insha'Allah. And also in the surah, Musa says what? Musa says, satajiduni insha'Allahu sabiran. So this is a gentle reminder. Musa alayhi salam said insha'Allah. And then we also have the story of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, that when will they break open? The day that the one in charge of them, he says, Insha'Allah, tomorrow you will continue. When he says Insha'Allah, they will find the wall as it was yesterday, and they're able to break through. So Insha'Allah is linked as well to the whole concept of dhikr of this surah. Of the blessings and of the themes of this surah, we learn that Muslims should have a genuine concern and care for all of humanity, for the well-being, for the spiritual and physical well-being of other people. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described as full of sorrow for his community because they didn't believe. So much sorrow is causing him grief and anxiety. The man of the two gardens, he's advising his brother. The story of Dhulqarnain, he volunteered to help out these people when Ya'juj and Ma'juj were harming them. Throughout the story, there's a genuine concern, helping out other people. We also learn from this surah, and I mentioned this so many times throughout our tafsir, be careful of speaking without knowledge. From the beginning of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, this is a warning for those who say Allah has children. How can Allah Azza wa Jal have children? Throughout the surah, Allah criticizes. You don't know there were 5, there were 3, there were 7. Some say they lived 300. Some say this much. Only Allah knows the truth. Throughout the surah, we have clear examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warning people to be careful when they speak about Him and His religion. And this is especially true in our age, in our days, brothers and sisters, that subhanAllah, there is a pseudo-knowledge. There is a false presumption that because I have read 5 books or have Googled or have read this document that I have, mashallah, achieved much knowledge. The fact of the matter, and this is in Surah Al-Kahf, the fact of the matter is anyone who wants to become an alim needs a live physical teacher, a mentor, a tutor. The teacher-student relationship is necessary for a person to become a scholar. As Musa and Khadr, that what did Musa say? Let me accompany you. Let me be with you. Because what you gain from books, you can never be sure you have understood it. You could be mistaken. You could be reading the wrong books. So it is essential for that teacher-student relationship as well. Of the constant themes of this surah is that this world is a temporary world and this life is a short life. The surah begins, we have made everything in this world a zina, a beautification. Throughout the surah, we have other examples of this. And most importantly, in the middle of the surah, Allah says, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the example of this world except like water that comes down, vegetation grows, and then it withers away. So throughout the surah, Allah reminds us, life is short, make sure you're ready for the next life. Of the benefits and motifs of the surah teaches us the importance of keeping good company and how helpful righteous friends are. From the beginning, Allah says they were a group of young men. Innahum fityatun amanu birabbihim. Also, the evil man in the two gardens, he benefits from the good man. The good man's advising him. Also, Musa and Khadr, they benefit from their company. And Musa takes with him the best of the Bani Israel, a young lad, Fata. And this young Fata eventually becomes the Prophet. Good company leads a person to become good. Having good friends makes you good as well. And that is why, once again, smack in the middle of the surah, our Prophet is told, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Your job is to be patient and stick with those people who are worshipping Allah morning and evening. Leave the rich and elite who are arrogant. Leave those who don't have any relationship with Allah. Even those poor people who have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you stick with them at the expense of the rich, arrogant people. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ الْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. So a constant motif of the surah, choose your friends with Islam in mind, with good akhlaq, with good manners, with ibadah in mind, and hang around those people. Of the motifs of the surah, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls each and every aspect of our lives, and that nothing happens, even if we consider it to be a musibah, except that there is a blessing for us, if we have true tawakkul in Allah. There is no musibah, except that within that musibah, there is also barakah and blessings for us. If only we have patience. If only we have trust in Allah. If we have yaqeen, then there is no such thing as a pure evil coming. Any harm will be outweighed by the good. Any evil, it will be won over by the benefit that will eventually happen, if we have have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The surah also demonstrates for us in multiple occasions the dangers of arrogance. The man of the two gardens and his arrogance. Iblis is mentioned by name, that kana min al jinn, because of his arrogance. Fafasaqa an amri rabbih. So we're warned of arrogance. In Surah Al-Kahf tells us, don't follow the community just because they are the ones that are at the pinnacle of civilization. They have more money, they have more power. Don't be deluded by this false sense of arrogance. Of the blessings of this surah, and one of the takeaways of this surah that we learn is that we treat people, each one according to his or her level. We don't treat people according to our knowledge. We treat people according to their knowledge. We don't treat people according to what we are doing. We treat them based on their circumstance. So when you find a person who is not practicing Islam at all, you need to be gentle with him and preach to him what is more important at the expense of what is less important. Don't be harsh with the person who doesn't deserve that harshness. And the example here we said was Musa and Khadr, and Musa and the Fata. Musa and the Fata, this young child, the teenager, he was to become a prophet. At this stage, he's just a teenager, Yusha ibn Nun. When he forgets, Musa overlooks. Even though the mizaj of Musa is a strong mizaj, his character is strong, but he knows when to be strong. He overlooks. Khadr, and he's a gentle person. Khadr, and he's a sweet person. When Musa messes up, Khadr is not that gentle with him. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you for sure before? Right? Alam aqul laka? So he's multiply. Why? Because Khadr and Musa, they have a different relationship than Musa and Yusha ibn Nur. And also, Musa says, I can be patient. Don't worry, I'll be patient. So when he fails, he deserves a little bit of, didn't I tell you? So we treat people according to their level. The jahil, the ammi, the one who doesn't pray, he is not treated like the one who prays regularly. When you find a sin from somebody who you expect more from, no doubt you can be a little bit more harsher than other people. So you deal with people according to their level. And again, much more to be said, but time is of the essence and I don't want to delay too much. But really the primary point of this surah, brothers and sisters, is that the ultimate life is the next life. That Jannah and Nar are awaiting humanity. Jannah and Nar are awaiting humanity. And in order to get to Jannah and or Nar, we seek Allah's refuge. How will we decide our fate between these two? Trials of this world. Fitan of this world. Our response to those fitan will be one of the primary characteristics that will decide our fate in the next life. So if we want to be saved from the punishments of Jahannam, then what does the surah tell us? Those who believe and do good deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And if you want to enter Jannah, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا. This is the constant theme. Not only of Surah Al-Kahf, but of the whole Quran. You want to get up there, then you need to have good iman, strong iman, and you work for the sake of Allah. You show your deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without showing off, without any arrogance, without corrupting and polluting those deeds. Brothers and sisters, for all of these reasons, Surah Al-Kahf is the surah our Prophet wanted us to read every Friday, because life is a test and every week something happens. So Surah Al-Kahf will be that surah. When we read it, we calm ourselves down. We remind ourselves, look, trials and tribulations will come. We remind ourselves to turn to Allah. We remind ourselves to thank Allah for the blessings, to seek refuge in Allah from the evil, to have a strong ta'alluq and tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this reason, Surah Al-Kahf is the protection from the Dajjal. If Surah Al-Kahf will protect you from Dajjal, then how about the minor trials that me and you face every day? Think about that. The biggest trial that humanity has ever seen is the Dajjal. This is what our Prophet said. From the time of Adam ila yawm al-qiyamah. If the 10 verses of Kahf will protect you from Dajjal, then what do you think the other verses? What do you think the rest of the surah? Therefore, brothers and sisters, I advise myself and all of you, let us make it a habit to read the surah every Friday. Let us memorize the surah so we can protect ourselves from the Dajjal. And what did our Prophet say? Whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday will have a light shining from him up until the next Friday. We want to be of those people who have that light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the Quran and through the Quran and by the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be of the people of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause the Quran to be an evidence for us and not an evidence against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the Quran to intercede for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and we seek refuge in Allah from the Quran witnessing against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us min ashabil Qur'ani wa khassati, from the people of the Quran. Quran and the chosen people. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.